What do I do?
What do I do?
What do I say?
What do I say? In the Macmillan online community, we know what it's like to have cancer, because we have it too. So, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're feeling, whatever you need to ask about cancer, whatever the time of day or night, we'll do whatever it takes to help you. To join us, search Macmillan online community.
From Wondery and Audible comes Class of 88, a new podcast hosted by Will Smith. Before 1988, a lot of people didn't take hip-hop seriously. But hip-hop today touches everything from film to fashion to sports. So what changed? Follow Class of 88 wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on the old bruvs. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Good. What's going on with you today? You're in a different place. You've got the sun shining behind you angelically through your window.
I have the angelic light of Union, New Jersey shining on me right now through these vertical blinds.
You're Union. You're big.
Yeah, this is actually Venetian blinds. I apologize. Yeah, I'm here in New Jersey because my boyfriend Dominique gets the opening night of his musical that he directed called After Midnight at the Paper Mill Playhouse. Just giving a big shout out to us. That's tonight. So I'm here supporting and recording from scenic, beautiful, timeless Union, New Jersey.
Well, how beautiful. What a life.
I know.
I'm in my regular place, okay? My dog's licking himself behind me like a fucking crazy person, and I'm trying not to murder him, okay? Because all I hear is this. It sounds like a chronic masturbating pervert is behind me. Welcome to the show. Everybody, thanks for being here. Our Watch What Crappens annual Golden Crappy Awards are coming up very soon. They're coming up the 17th. They will be in, that's February, for those of you who don't know what month it is. Okay, ding. It's February 17th, Los Angeles, the Palace Theater. We're very excited. We're also selling streaming tickets for that. We are doing a joint stream thing with Moment. They're amazing. Yeah. You can find links to both of those things over at watchwhatcrappens.com. It's going to be an amazing show. We were just working on it right now. We feel like really good. We feel like we deserve to be Union. So
we're going to unionize our show. This show, The Crappies, is so good. It may have to have a traveling production here in Union, New Jersey. So who knows?
Yeah, we might be coming to the Paper Mill Batch.
Maybe we will.
The Paper Batch, bitch.
Paper Batch, Mill Batch.
This is also a video. We are doing this on Crappens On Demand on Patreon. And here we go. First of all, fuck you to the internet for all, constant. Like, I can't wait 5 minutes to watch this show without you spoiling every freaking thing. And listen, I'm a spoiler. I'm someone who, like, the next day, if you haven't watched it, I don't feel terrible about spoiling it. As long as it's done on my time, then I don't care because I'm a hypocrite.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm the president of the Hypocrite Party. Okay. But you guys cannot do that, especially you can't watch it live and then spoil it right when it ends. I mean, come on, there's time zones, people.
Did you get spoiled?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was being risky because I watched it. It dropped at 9 p.m. on the East Coast, and I didn't watch it until midnight. And you would think 3 hours is not risky, but it is risky because people with the traitors are so ridiculous in terms of, like, they just give the spoilers out. And I was lucky. I was not spoiled, but I am on a moral crusade because what I do is I watch the traitors, and then when I'm done watching it, I go on to Twitter, and I either mute or block everyone who would have spoiled me. Because it's like, aha, if I had not been more careful, you would have ruined my entire experience. So retroactively, I'm mad at you. And here's what really chafes me, okay? First of all, last season, when the first season of The Traitors dropped, there were tons of tweets complaining, how could you drop this whole show in one go because there are so many spoilers out there? And, you know, like, we haven't even had a chance to even watch the whole series, and people are already tweeting out spoilers. And some of the very same people who complained about that, because I remembered who complained about it, because some of them were very prominent tweeters. They then are up there at 9:43 p.m. spoiling who gets kicked off at the round table at the traders. So people just need to fuck off. And I'm sorry, don't tell me to just like, oh, it's your fault. You got to watch it. It's appointment viewing. I get it's appointment viewing, but you know what? There's also such a thing as called like real life. And some of us have to do things. And what's really annoying is that Twitter and Threads, they just send notifications off that are like, here's a tweet for you from someone you don't even follow, but we think you'd like it. This person just got voted off of Traders. And it's just kind of like I have to stop everything in my life. I have to not look at my phone and turn everything upside down because you can't wait 2 hours for your non-viral tweet to go live. Sorry, no.
Can't you make a joke or a statement without it being like, so-and-so got kicked off and it was amazing? Like, I think it's people bragging, like, I watched it before you. Like, I have less to do. I have less than you to do on a Thursday night. Like, and how is that even possible? I have less to do than anybody I know. Like, I don't do anything. So anyway, they'll put spoiler, but then they say the thing. They go, spoiler alert, so-and-so was kicked off. Well, how am I supposed to read that in a tweet? You're just glancing through the thing. Yeah. I can't. Spoiler alert. You need to put like spoiler alert in comments or something. Spoiler alert, winner in comments, and then write a comment to yourself or something. I mean, come on, you jackasses. At this point, I feel like people are bragging that they have special access to Peacock or some bullshit. I don't know what it is, but I think we've all lost our manners because so much of viewing now is just done the next day or it's whenever. We're not used to watching shit the same night. And so now that we have to watch it all, like we have to be in front of a fucking TV at a certain time, people who actually made it are so proud of themselves that they just like they want a fucking gold medal for it. Like, you want me to get you a Malty? I mean,
yeah. Someone tweeted at me because, of course, I'd sent out some tweets to this effect. Because, by the way, I sent out some traitor tweets. But you know what I said? I said, I am dead. Hashtag the traitors. That's not a spoiler. It just shows what my emotional reaction was. So someone tweets at me saying, it used to be called live tweeting and it used to be fun. I'm like, I don't care. It used to be called watching TV and it used to be fun. How about that? And then someone else said, a spoiler is before something is aired. Once something is aired, that's just like participating and engaging. And I'm like, okay, so should I just like see a movie on a Friday night and then tell you how it ended? Because guess what? Like, the movie's out, so it's not a spoiler anymore. Of course, like, everyone who wrote back at me all bothered, the reason why they wrote back bothered is because they know they did something wrong.
Because they're fucking guilty.
They know they did something wrong. Yeah. So they have to make me the bad guy. And no, you are the ones who are inconsiderate. I'm sorry. At least be considerate to the time zone. At the very least, give a three-hour padding.
You can live tweet without giving away every single thing the second that it happens. Like, there is such a thing as live tweet. Like, it's called commentary. Yes. Make a fucking effort, okay? Yes. Don't just sit there and be like, and then this happened, and then a girl walked in, and do something creative. You're fucking... I'm getting myself even more worked up.
I'm like so mad right now.
I'm so mad too. But also, let's just do this the whole recap. Let's just complain about me.
I would love to do this. Also, I mean, The Traitors, it's so funny because The Traitors is a show about like betrayal. It's about someone who is like ruining things for the larger group. And so it is very funny to me that we sit here week after week rooting for like these faithful to like find traitors because we're like, the traitors are the bad guys. And yet people actively spoiling it for other people is literally like, that is what the traitors would do. So it's like very ironic to me. I think that people just need to chill out. That being said, the people who did do nicely timed tweets, appropriately timed tweets, oh my God, so many funny tweets about this episode. So good. So good.
I didn't really see any because I was so annoyed by the time I got back on Twitter because I didn't even go. I mean, I wasn't even thinking about it. You know, you don't think about it. You just grab for your phone because it's like our lifeline. Like, what else am I going to grab for?
Yeah.
You know, like a stack of money? No, it doesn't exist. I don't have that. So I just, a job? Like, no, I'm not going to, a book? It's not going to happen. So I grab my phone and I just flick open the phone and it's like, blah, 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 was kicked off, you know?
Yeah.
So by the time I'd watched the episode, by the way, it doesn't even matter that I was spoiled because it was still a great fucking episode.
So good.
I was so annoyed with the people on Twitter that I didn't even go on there after. I was like, fuck you guys. I don't even want to laugh at you right now. Okay.
Right.
I'm not even here to laugh at you.
And that's why people were really bothered, because I said on Twitter, I said, I'm on a moral crusade, and I am unfollowing and muting people who would have spoiled this for me. And everyone gets mad at me, because to say that you're going to unfollow and mute someone is like the exact opposite of what they're trying to achieve. They're trying to achieve, they're trying to have a tweet that everyone retweets and is so popular. So for me to say, actually, instead of it being popular for me, it's one less follow for you. That's just like ruined their entire game plan. So I think they're all bothered because of that. But whatever. You know, I'm still traumatized, honestly.
I'm threatening you with an unfollow. We're turning into my mother. I'm taking this online.
I'm still honestly traumatized by the fact that White Lotus season 2 was spoiled for me at like 6:52 p.m. West in California, because it was airing live on the East Coast. And it's just, again, if you're in a different time zone, I'm sorry, you're just not thinking about East Coast necessarily. And I'm just still mad at my friend for spoiling it for me. I mean, I love my friend, but I'm still mad on that specific point about it. Still
okay, mad. Well, let's give this up now, because it's 10 minutes in.
I know. It was great. What a great way to start. Spoilers. I love that.
But super fun episode. Also, spoiler alert, because if you haven't watched the episode and don't want to know who died yet until the end of this recap, I don't care, because we're going to talk about it. What a jackass that guy is. And I'm so glad his ass got handed to him, because this is like the best game player ever. It's like Carrie Strug coming out and people are so excited to see her do a backflip, and then she just like crosses one leg over the other and calls that a trick. Like, you're not even doing anything, Carrie Strug. Okay, make a fucking effort. You're Carrie Strug. Okay.
I think
do like a cartwheel at least.
I think to me the more appropriate analogy with Carrie Strug is Carrie Strug showing up at like a basketball game and thinking that because she won gymnastics, that therefore she can just like cruise the NBA finals. And it's like, no, that's a different sport. And Big Brother is a different sport than the Traitors. Yeah. And damn,
out there, you're Carrie Strug. In here, you're Carrie Strug. Nobody cares.
All right. She's like, I can totally block Jimmy Butler. Listen, mister, give me a shot. No, like Dan thought that he knew what was up. You know what? He had some good moments, but he played too literal of a game. Like, this guy's gunning for me, so therefore I gotta take him out tonight. Not realizing that every time you do that, you're just making it so obvious that it's you. Like, he left such a paper trail that, you know, I'm surprised it even took this long to get rid of him.
Yeah.
But they're a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, he was an idiot. And also, it makes you realize just how stupid people on Big Brother are. We always have known that people on Big Brother are idiots. And I don't mean that Dan's completely stupid, because I do respect the game that he played on Big Brother for the most part. But you just have to understand that people he was going up against are literal idiots. Like, the guy was fighting nothing. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. He's literally, The sort of people that are on Big Brother are like McCray, the pizza delivery guy, or I don't know, that lady who was like a preacher with a bow tie on. You know, like they're just like,
oh my God, what was her name? She just kept talking like she was preaching constantly. It's like, how dare you put me up on the block?
Do you remember there was one guy, was his name Luan, who self-evicted because he was convinced a twist was coming up where he'd be able to be voted back into the house. So he basically, do you remember that? No. He literally left the show because Julie said, you know, house guest, there's a big twist coming up. He goes, I believe it's going to be that someone gets voted back in. So vote me off. So that way you can vote me back in. And they voted him off. And that twist never happened. So he just voted himself off. That's Big Brother right there.
Absolute morons.
Idiots.
Well, murder. Okay, so before we get on to Alan's DuckTales hair, I mean, like gay DuckTales hair, whatever that was, let's talk about what happened last week. So we ended off with Dan. Okay, so Peter has laid a trap where he did not win the shield, but he told them he won the shield to see if they would still vote Bergie off, knowing that whoever did that, he was going to catch him red-handed, basically. I'm an idiot, too. So, you know, I know I'm a hypocrite, and then I can't make a sentence. But it's hard. It's convoluted. So, anyway, he laid a trap. Dan knew it was a trap because Parvati told him it was a trap.
Yeah.
And he still decided to go ahead and vote off the person that he knew was going to show him. And he's saying, well, no one's smart enough to lay that trap. Parvati just told you he was laying the trap.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, like, well, I think that the trap that they thought it was that when Peter told Parvati and Dan that he had a shield, they thought he was lying and that he didn't have a shield. And so I don't think they necessarily thought it meant that Birgy therefore had a shield.
Yeah, but well, either Parvati way, said, she said, he's obviously trying to trick us to sniff us out.
Right.
So we'll so get, then why did we they have vote to vote Peter? Someone who's not, who wasn't on the outside is what she said. So yeah, she right. told him, like, Dan, we can't stick up for Dan here. He's a dum-dum.
Yeah, at the very least, no matter what, they should not have voted for anyone in the on the outside. But he's like, listen, I gotta take my chance. In this game, you either take your chance or you don't take your chance. And I don't want to be a don't take your chance or on this chance situation. So here's my chance to not take the don't take a chance situation.
I come from the school of big moves. And now, in this game, it's time to make a move that's so big, nobody's going to get it. But I'm going to wait until the right time to make a move. Because in this game, moves are made. Okay, Dan, for fuck's sake, man.
In this game, because Birgy said that I was the traitor, in this game, what I'm going to do is vote out Birgy to show everyone I'm not the traitor, because with a traitor, vote out someone who is very vocal about saying the traitor was the traitor? I don't think so. Like, by the way, if that hit had succeeded, Birgy was adamant at the last thing, the last round table, that Dan was a traitor, and then Birgy gets kicked off, you think that, like, people are going to say, oh, Dan, you're exonerated now. No, no, absolutely not. It was an inherently stupid choice by Dan.
Yeah, just stupid. Can I ask you a side question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why does the Lord take our hair away? Why? I don't understand. Like, I've got used to it. My hair left young. I started going bald fairly young. I didn't have to wait till middle age to accept it. You know, now I'm left to accept the waddle and everything else that comes with middle age. But my hair was taken young. I think it's unfair, and I think it's just a way of God being like, haha, I'm going to make you insecure now. And the reason I say this is because Dan's hair, I just kept looking at it being like, poor Dan, you know?
Yeah.
Now he's like balding, he's trying to cover up his hair, he's just trying to grasp onto one thing, and then they take this away from him too. I'm like, God is cruel. I mean, you can watch the news and really try and figure that out, but anybody with thinning hair really knows what's up. That's some bullshit, okay? And if anyone is going to church every week, ask yourself next time you give that 10%, why did the Lord take my hair? Okay? And if you still have your hair, then ask yourself, why did the Lord take Ronnie's hair? Go with that, okay? Not to be the Antichrist or anything. I just felt really bad for Dan.
Take my hair away.
Ladies and gentlemen.
As someone who is currently suffering from Dan pattern hair baldness, because guess what? Oh, I'm not sure I think you can see it. I'm balding like Dan in the back. But the thing is, what I like about it is that it's behind me, so I don't have to look at it. So I always forget that I'm balding. So I still act like I'm not balding.
That's why I don't do squats. But I'm balding.
I'm balding.
Yeah, that's why I don't do squats. Like, what do I care if I have the pancake ass? It's behind me. I literally don't have to see it.
I think my hair started to thin in my 30s, but I just sort of was like, what? I was like in denial. And then I think the pandemic really kind of accelerated it back there. So, you know, I understand Dan's pain, but also I'm not growing my hair like Dan, because I feel like actually the way Dan grows his hair, it's like he's trying to act like
it's deceptive. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's trying to be deceptive about it, and you're not tricking anybody. You know what I mean? Like, your hair game is failing also. And it's just like a whole world of hurt. And I would like the Lord to reconsider how he treats us. Okay. So Alan comes in and he's like, the murder has been attempted, and unbeknownst to the traitors, Birgy is the holder of the shield. By the way, I owe everybody an apology for not coming back for the Good Wife spinoff, The Good Fight, which I know has made it very difficult for Ronnie to really engross himself in the show. Thank you.
Now, I have a question. At the end of the last episode, it was not clear that they were actually going to go for Birgy. I thought they were debating going for Birgy, and so all week long I was like, are they gonna do it? Did I just miss it? Did I have myself in suspense the whole week over nothing? Like, was it
clear? They told Dan, you can't do this. I mean, they said you shouldn't do this. It's going to be so obvious that it's you. And also, he probably has a shield. And he was like, I don't care. He's coming for me and I have to do it. And they were like, okay.
So I thought that was like a cliffhanger, like that he'd say, but you know what? In this game, you got to trust your fellow traitors. And so the traitor that I'm going to trust is Phaedra. And we're going to vote out Trishel or something like that. But it started out this episode. No, there was a hit on Bergy. And there was no murder. And Bergy will be arriving at breakfast along with his fellow faithfuls in this game of murder chess. A killer move has just been made. Check murder, mate, murder.
So Phaedra and Sheree and Kate are the first ones in the breakfast room. And Kate's like, wow, there's a lot of plates here. Gross. So many stupid people.
Wow, a lot of Rachel's faces. Oh, I mean plates. Sorry, just some PTSD from last season.
Wow, a lot of Rachel brains in here. Just blank slates.
Wow, except the difference is I think that if these plates decide to put on a dress, it would actually be fashionable. Sorry, Rachel. Burn for season two.
Wow, well, one thing that these plates have over Rachel is that they're well-rounded, actually, so.
And stacked. So they're sitting there, and Parvati's like, wow, this is a nice spread. I'm just, hold on 1 second. Let me just squint at this plate real quickly. Parvati, squint game is, as Kyle Richards would say, on fleek.
Yeah. And then Parvati is like, yeah, it's really like a pressure cooker in here. I'm feeling extreme nervousness. I'm really hoping that Bergy does not have a shield and that the murder comes off. Because otherwise, I'm going home sooner, which means I'm probably going to have to bang Warren Beatty again. Please, please keep me. Do you still not see the Annette Bening in Parvati? It makes me crazy. I love Annette Bening so much. It just makes me love Parvati even more.
I love that. That's such a Crappens like diss. I know it's not a diss, but like, or whatever you want to call it, like, you look like Annette Bening. So Kate is
no, it's not. It's a compliment. Oh my god, she's like my hero, Annette Bening. And I don't know Parvati from a hole in the ground. I don't watch Survivor, so I don't. All I know is that she's one of the head. You know, one who loves headbands. If she was in Game of Thrones, she would be Parvati, she of headband.
House headband. House headband. All her flags just headbands. Headbands are coming. It's like, that's how you know, like, if she gets, if she's killed and resurrected as, like, a White Walker, it's like little skeletons with headbands on them. Yeah. Anyway, so Kate is, so Parvati goes, so who do you think it will be, Kate? She goes, boredom. Boredom. I'm sorry, did you ask me what emotion I'm feeling? Oh, you asked me who's going to be coming out next? Okay, yeah. No. Also still boredom.
Did you just ask me what I'm going to eventually die of in this house?
People start just looking at me like I'm some sort of an expert. Like, listen, I just got here. I'm still trying to remember people's names. So, you know, pass the toasts. Dum-dum, is your name Dum-dum? Can I call you that, Dum-dum?
It's time. Back in 2020, the FBI claimed to have stopped a wild plot to kidnap the governor of Michigan.
Thank you to the fearless FBI agents bringing these sick and depraved men to justice.
The key to the investigation was an FBI informant whose recordings have never been heard by the public until now.
This is about pointing rifles at politicians and squeezing the fucking trigger.
From Campside Media and Sony Music Entertainment, it's Chameleon, The Michigan Plot, out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Academy is a new scripted podcast that follows Ava Richards, played by HBO's Industries' Myhala Harold, a brilliant scholarship student who has to quickly adapt to her newfound eat-or-be-eaten world. Ava's ambitions take hold and her small-town values break in hopes of becoming the first scholarship student to make the list. Bishop Gray's all-coveted academic top 10, curated by the headmaster himself. But after realizing she has no chance at the list on her own, she reluctantly accepts an invitation to a secret underground society that pulls the strings on campus life and academic success. If she bends to their will, she'll have everything she's ever dreamed of. But at what cost? Academy takes you into the world of a cutthroat private school where power, money, and sex collide in a game of life and death. Follow Academy on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Academy early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then Dan and Sandra and CT are safe. They're not murdered. And Dan's like, this is a huge gamble and a huge risk to murder Bergy. For a lot of reasons. Number one, he told everyone in front of me that he's going to write my name down next time. And number two, everyone's going to pin this murder on me. And if you want a huge reward, you got to take some great risks. And I'm nothing if not a risk taker. Oh my God, just fucking walk out in the middle of the road. I mean, that's a risk people take.
Yeah, if the number two thing he says here is pretty compelling. Like, everyone's going to pin the murder on me. So why are you going to take out Bergy? It doesn't make any sense. Hey, Kate, how's it feel to be back in the swing of things? Because in this game, you have to be in the swing of a lot of things, like Big Brother, when you literally have to swing on oversized hot dogs to become head of household.
Well, you know, a lot of my friends ask me, like what you're asking me, Dan, probably something similar to what your wife asks herself every time she listens to you count things off on your fingers and drone off about in this game, etc., which is, why do I want to make myself miserable? Why did I put myself in this situation? It's a really roundabout way to say, shut up, Dan. Just please.
I thrive when I'm miserable, actually. So so then CT is like, yeah, well, you know what? I think it's gonna be nice to have some fresh ears out here for sure. And he says, I think that people are just kind of getting fed up, you know, with all these wicked faithfuls going home and kind of being wrong, you know, like, I want to get a traitor, you know, like Noma. Ah.
Someone left us a comment and said he is not from Boston. CT Road Rules. What's his name? CT famous
or
for nothing.
Chris Tamborello or something like that. Or
yeah, Tamborello.
Sure, well,
that's cute. I never knew that was his last name. C.T. Tamborello.
Where's he from?
He was born on 16th of July in Brooklyn, New York, USA. He's an actor and a producer known for Hunting Games, The Most Dangerous Something or Other, and Big Butts. I like Big Butts. Ronnie's Daydreams.
He's known for hunting, and every carcass he gets, he puts into his thighs.
So he's from Brooklyn. Come on, Ben.
So he's from Brooklyn.
Yeah, we're getting fed up with these faithfuls going home, all right? And Sheree's like, Sandra, who do you think isn't coming? And she's like, I think it must be John's because he's the most faithful of all the faithfuls.
So then
how does it sound like Sandra is always about to send somebody to death? I can't believe that no one's thought Sandra is the traitor, because just how she acts, she's just like, you know what I think? I think if anyone messes with me, they're going to have blood all over the wall. Like, damn, Sandra, geez, can I just asked you to pass the toast.
I know. I mean, she won Survivor twice. She was the first person to win Survivor twice. She's definitely, you know, someone to keep an eye out for. So Phaedra and MJ arrive next. I'm still saying MJ, I think it's, well, I don't want to say it because I'm going to send her home by saying this, but MJ is like a little bit of a sleeper candidate on the show. There was a moment where she got some heat, but I think MJ is doing really, really well. I feel like she got distracted from the whole damn thing, admittedly, but I don't know. I feel
she's
like MJ's
learned
well.
From Shaws of Sunset. Like, she'll be extra and then she'll learn I'm being extra and I need to just shut up for a while and not say anything.
Yeah.
And it's pretty impressive because she'll go from accusing people pretty loudly and pretty directly to them being buried alive and just being like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to just need to be quiet for a little while. And she does, you know, she pulls it back and lets everybody else start going for each other.
Yeah. So everyone's excited to see Phaedra and everything. And she goes, Phaedra's like, walking into breakfast, I'm feeling frustrated. The choice to murder Bergy was not my decision. Dan wanted him gone because he's been hot on Dan's trail. And I really adore Bergalicious. Am I allowed to say Bergalicious? Will this be turned against me at some point? Okay, good. I think he's a sweet young man. And he's just so kind. Don't really understand what show he's on or where he came from. And haven't really had any conversations with him. But he seems nice, and he saved us in that cemetery thing, so that's my little Bergalicious.
Bergalicious. And Peter's like, well, I'm at breakfast feeling really confident, and I just, you know, I have a strategy in play. Is it to hug your mother? Mom. Please get out of the house. I can't live without you.
So Peter's like, I think it has to be John because he's completely useless now to the traitors. I think everyone's so convinced that he's faithful. But his cough patch. It's like the echoes of Tamara still accusing John of having his traitorous asthma.
He doesn't have an inhaler, bitch.
So Dan goes, okay, everyone, my theory was it's going to be someone who voted for me because then it's easy to pin on me, you know, because like, oh, yeah, of course I murdered them because they voted for me. Know what I mean? Ha ha ha. In this game, I'm just trying to explain to you sort of where I'm coming from. Ha 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 ha.
You don't need to lay it down this hard, Dan. Like, the guy has no chill. He's already coming in here tap dancing about something that hasn't even happened yet. So,
he's already, exactly.
So Kate and Sheree are trying to put things together, you know, and they're like, oh, wait, because you think that Bergie and Trishelle and John, and Sheree's like, they all voted for Dan. And Peter's like, oh, my God, I'm praying this is that John walks in, because if John walks in, I know that my strategy worked. Man, they went for Bergie, and boom, I win. I win it all.
So then the door opens and a fashionista walks in. That's right. Trishelle with another one of her looks. She's been so excited to debut for us. So she comes in.
This one is this the one with all the black ribbons?
I don't even remember. I just am still laughing that Trishelle was like, I hope I don't get murdered soon because I have so many looks to show off. And then every single one is just like a beret and a vest.
What does a black ribbon mean? A black awareness ribbon is primarily a symbol for mourning and remembrance. Well, I guess, it's for melanoma awareness, I guess?
I think black ribbons, yeah. She just went to a wake, maybe.
I mean, I guess this whole show's about murder, but she shows up in something with like 50 little black ribbons pinned to her, which is, I mean, are those all the American girl dolls that you've beaten to death to steal their outfits from for this show? Because damn,
are ribbons on trend? So Trishelle comes in with John, and they're like, oh my god, this means that Bergie was killed. But Peter's excited. He starts going like, game on, man. He starts shaking people's hands. I was like, you know, this kind of actually makes you look guilty. If someone's dead and you're like shaking someone's hand, it sort of does not look great for you, Peter. I don't think anyone paid attention to it, but it could have definitely been used against him.
Well, but he had already told everybody that what he did. So he's telling his friends like, oh, then it's Bergie, which means that I won, you know, that it worked. Because everybody knows what he's doing, right? He's not trying to hide it. I don't think Peter has very many good ideas. So when he has one, he just like rubs it in, you know? So he's like, the trap where mic drops. And Dan's like, I feel really good because we murder Bergie. And I need someone that's adamant that I'm a traitor. So I had to take matters into my own hand and, you know, do what Dan does. I just had to do what Dan does, you know? So then Trishelle's like, oh my God, everyone's going to be totally surprised when Bergie walks in because everyone thinks he was murdered.
Yeah, but I know that Bergie has a shield, and you know what else I also know? I have 5 more berets I'm ready to wear, okay? So we are going to win. Mm-hmm. So this is where Phaedra famously goes, oh, I love my Bergalicious. I love Bergie, damn. Which I note only because it is attempted to use against her. So then, guess what? In walks Bergie. And Peter is just staring at Dan and Parvati to see what their reactions are. And Parvati's good. She goes, oh my God. Oh my God. And Dan's like, okay. In this game, wow.
So Bergie's like, someone gave me a death warrant last night, but I have the shield. I'm like, oh my God, Bergie, you did it. And then Dan's just like, wow, this is so great. Good for you, man. Good for you. If you were in trouble right now at a police station, they would book you. No chill.
Yeah. No chill whatsoever. Phaedra's like, well, we thought Bergie was dead. Honey, he was like, Christ, he rose again. So everyone's excited. And Peter goes, checkmate. He also doesn't have a huge amount of chill. So Peter's like, there you go. The trap worked. The traitors took the bait. And now I know at least one traitor is in that group of Parvati, CT, and Dan. Now, I hate to burst Peter's bubble. He is correct, but his logic is not correct. It's totally feasible that someone who had no idea about this plan, like there could have been traitors from people who are not of that group who totally went for Berkey anyway to try to frame Dan. Like, it does not mean that Dan and Parvati voted for Berkey, but I just wanted to... Right, like they just shouldn't know that. It's not
foolproof.
It's not foolproof, but luckily they're all fools and they're really good at fooling themselves. So it worked. It worked out well, but like theoretically, Dan could have still exploited this to save himself.
Yes, and then Peter's like, wow, you know, he's kind of going for a victory lap. He's like, hey, everybody at breakfast. So what happened was we wanted to take the traitor. We wanted the traitors to think that Parvati and myself, that we had shields, so they wouldn't go after us. So I leaked a couple people that I had the shield, even though I didn't have the shield. So basically, I won, right? Did I win? Did I win this game already? And Parvati's like, oh, my God, I have been exposed, and I fully and completely blame Dan. It was his decision to murder Berkey. And Sandra is trying to, everyone was just trying to understand what the hell he's talking about. And he's like, yeah. We leaked it. We leaked it to the people we thought were traitors.
Sandra's like, wait, hold on. Wait, who did you leak it to? Hold on. Wait, who? How did this happen? What did you do? You leaked it to who? Everyone, be quiet. Wait, what? What happened?
So he's like, a couple people. So now they're like, well, he didn't tell me, you know. And CT goes, well, you did tell me. You told me you had the shield. And Kate's like, wow, I'm like the new kid at school. I have no idea what's going on. I just keep looking it around and I think, these are my peers? Gross.
There's a gross person with a gross accessory on. I guess it's a shield. Whatever. He seems excited. I'm not.
I remember the first day I went to preschool, it was like this playground and my mom was walking me up and it was a chain link fence. And I just walked up and saw all those little cretins in there. And I was like, these are not my people. She's like, you're going to find someone in there you're going to like. I was like, no, I'm not. These are monsters. How are you telling me I'm this age? I'm of these ilk? No.
So you murdered them all as a baby.
I murdered all of them. No, you can't say that.
No, I'm joking because of traitors. So Parvati was like, children. Parvati's like, well, you told me in confidence and I kept it to myself. I didn't say a word. And Dan goes, yeah, it was leaked to me, but like, I'm not a traitor. So, and then Pedro just goes, well, you didn't tell me.
Yeah. So she's like, well, Dan and Parvati fell into that trap, so they could be in trouble. And Peter's like, oh, my God, I did it. My competitive juices are flowing now. I'm ready to just take these traitors out one by one. And Phaedra's like, okay, I'm going to have to cut this meat now.
She's like, let's just focus on the meat.
He tries to come for her tells later. Dan tries to come for Phaedra's tells. But no one really gets Phaedra's tells. Her tells are talking about the food that's on the table.
I know, like just changing the subject. And Berkey's like, has anyone seen my shield? And just cut to Kevin with like the shield in his mouth trying to swallow it. Mm-hmm. So Alan walks in. He's like, good morning, my precious. What a morning it is. It seems the sun is shining on your faithfuls because as you can see, everybody is still here. I'll let you work out what that means. Don't ask me. I'm just here to say cryptic things and look absolutely spectacular.
And Dan's like, wow, I can't believe I took such a huge gamble and then it backfired on me. You know, Peter, who thought that guy had it in him, you know? I mean, look at that guy. He hands out roses. He's a bachelor. You know, he doesn't give out, like, crazy game theory.
Like, that's only because he hasn't been on a game like this before. That's just what's... just because you haven't been cast in Big Brother does not mean you can't play games.
And it's absolutely not true either. Bachelor and Bachelorette, that is a big game, you know? They have to keep from looking stupid. They have to figure out how to keep the one they really want. They have to figure out how to get with the one they really want, the one that they're supposed to want, even though the one they really want, the producers don't want them to have. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. And Peter ended up gaming his season because he really liked a girl that I don't think anybody thought was right for the role, so he pretended to fall for some other girl when he was really with another girl that just didn't want to do the show.
That was famous.
Yes. Right. So this guy can game, okay? Not well, because I think at the end of the day, everyone knows that the prize for the Peter game is Barbara. So he really, his mother. So he really could only go so far with gaming before he was found out. But anyway, damn.
Well, so now they're walking out of breakfast, and Peter's talking to Bergie, and he's like, I was, like, not knowing if they were going to come for you last night, and I was praying they weren't, and I'm like, please, 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 and they're like, yeah, he walked right into the trap, and he's like, as soon as Bergie walked in this morning, I knew the trap worked, and Dan and Parvati did not feel comfortable, their faces were saying it all, and they were so squirmish, but CT didn't react, so it's really down to Dan and Parvati, which, by the way, also not great logic, but look, it just worked out this time, but not great logic. So he's like, it's Advantage Faithfuls now, and I love it.
So then he meets up with Phaedra and MJ in the hall, and he's like, the traitors are going down. And he's just, you know, taking a victory lap. He's super excited. Yeah. But Phaedra's like, so you did rile him up. Now, what are you thinking? And he's like, well, Parvati, I mean, did you see her head? Her head literally went up 2 inches. I think that's a headband. But that's it.
Did you see the way she turned her eyes into little crescent moons? That was amazing. So, so Phaedra's like, Peter asked Phaedra if she had heard about this. She goes, no, I never heard anything about this, the information, et cetera, et cetera. So she's just like, nope, I'm not involved in this. So then Parvati goes up to Peter, and she's like, because she wants to talk to Malone, she wants to pull him, because she knows that she fell into the trap, and she wants to convince Peter that she's not a traitor. So he's like, all right, sell me, because now he's really cocky. And she's like, okay, well, you're telling me that you have been planting seeds this whole time, so how are you not a traitor? I was like, oh, Parvati, that's not going to work. That's not going to work, Parvati. That's not.
Yeah. And he's like, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious at this point. Like, no one has suspicion of me, right? Are you suspicious? Now, here's the thing. I don't understand the whole point of, like, I'm going to go have a meeting now. It's not Big Brother. And it's not like, this guy is not going to be able to vote you out alone. You need to convince everybody else. Like, you don't need to be going to him and kissing his ass, which they both do. Parvati and Dan both do it. It doesn't matter. Like, you're not going to change his mind. The best is to make everyone else like, oh, my God, this guy's coming for me so hard. It's kind of suspicious, right? Like, What are you doing? I think it looks so obvious when you go pull him aside like this for a private meeting.
Yeah, I think that, like, when you pull him aside, you don't use that moment to say, you're suspicious of me. Well, now I'm suspicious of you, because he's, like, blatantly faithful, right? Like, he made a trap, yada, yada, yada. So I think what you do is you got to say, listen, I'm really glad you laid that trap, but unfortunately it makes me look really shitty. But, like, I know that you're a faithful, but what can I do to prove to, like reassure him that you believe that he's faithful? Don't put him on defense. You gotta, like, I don't know, you gotta sort of say, what can I do to prove to you that I'm faithful? How can I prove this to you? Because I am, and I really hate that I'm being drawn to the situation when Dan is most likely the one who is the traitor.
But he's not having it. He's like, no, you're a traitor.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what she says, he's like, you're a traitor. You're a traitor. You do not get this rose because you're a traitor. Guess who gets a rose? Not traitors.
And, well, the thing is that, like, her only defense is you are. So that's not going to work out.
Well, both of them, because, again, it's a game where no one really has a motive. They're just picked, right? So
right.
He's like, so what? Wait, but then why are you saying you're not a traitor? She goes, why aren't I a traitor? How come you're not a traitor then? He's like, how come you're not?
He's like, do you have any seeds that you planted? Any information that no one else knows? Like, something to give me? Like, to get me off of you? Like, get me off of you or no? And she goes, no, I'm just trying to figure this out. Like, you know, you think you're 100% and I think I'm 100%. So, like, everyone's going to say that, huh? I was like, well, wait, great defense, Parvati. I mean, how's that going to move the needle?
Oh, yeah. So she's like, dude, get off my case. Like, he must be murdered. So then Dan is like, I'm under fire. I better go talk to Peter now. So he pulls Peter aside and, like, kind of does that twitch thing with his eye where he gets, you know, Dan gets a little nervous. And he's like, so, you know, I'm just trying to think with us, you know, what went wrong, you know?
And Peter says, well, I will say this. There's nothing you could have done differently. You kind of were like always in my top three, and I'm pretty confident it has to be you or Parvati because of, you know, that leak that I did. So, and by the way, Peter, he's always been in your top three. Then why is he still in this game? You dumb fuck. Seriously, though.
So then Dan, this is another thing Dan does where he's like, but you know, like, I forgive you for that, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, like it was a little weird that you set a trap, but you know, I just want you to know, like, I forgive you for that, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and he just kind of stutters over it. And Peter's like, uh-huh, well, I'm pretty convinced. So if I'm wrong, that's going to suck, huh?
It's like, listen, like, please, like, when I say, like, I'm a faithful, like, don't just, like, just, like, take it to heart. Like, I get it. Like, and it's, you know, I'm not mad. So Dan is actually doing the whole thing of, like, trying to disarm Peter. Like, hey, you gotta do what you gotta do. It's all good. I'm a good guy. But it's not working on Peter whatsoever. So now it's time
for the Peter shouldn't be just going around accusing everybody either, right? Yeah. Shouldn't he be like, I laid a trap and now I'm going to wait until the round table and get rid of Dan, you know? Why is it's just like, it's Dan and Parvati. You know, you can only get rid of one of them and the other one, you know, has other murderers there.
Yeah. I think that Dan's best play right now would have been to say, this is a real, I'm in a really bad position here because I look like I'm blatantly the murderer here. But I think that, you know, whoever you told your plan to, whatever, I think I'm being set up. Like, why, if I were a traitor, why would I go after Bergy? He came so hard for me. Like, it would not make any sense for me to do that because that would just make me look more guilty. I think someone else did this murder and I'm just being pinned for it. Like, I think that he should have done that.
Yeah.
But as far as we can tell, he didn't do it.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Okay, so now they have to do the challenge portion of the show, which is where my brain just zips. It just zips quiet.
I start looking at my phone. I will say this. I liked a tweak that they did to this challenge that when they announced it, I thought was very promising, and then it didn't really come to fruition. They had to do this whole thing where they had to go assemble pieces of a catapult and build a catapult and then launch things onto a target at a time. So it doesn't really matter. But the twist in it was that if the catapult is not built in enough time, all the shields that are collected are all nullified. And I was like, well, this is what that should have been from the very beginning, because it doesn't make sense for the traders to sabotage the missions because the traders are trying to increase the money. But it would make sense for the traders to sabotage the missions if the missions failing means that shields don't work. And like that would be a great dynamic to add to all these competitions. And I was hoping that that would be something that would come to play in this, but it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, they have to get boxes. There's boxes with shields in them, but only one shield will work in the end. Only one box has a real shield or something.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of river crossing and splashing around and looking for things. And Kate's just like, I hate this hell. Everyone knows that.
She's like, of course they waited until I got back to do the hill challenge again. I think the big takeaway from this was that they had to like cross a river and Phaedra was like very scared and CT was helping Phaedra and everyone online was like, this is like the new bodyguard because Phaedra was like, help me CT. And he's like holding her and dragging her along through the river. He's like, bend your knees.
That's funny. Okay, so let's see who wins. So Trishelle sees a box with a shield and she's like, I need a shield, please let me get it. And Kate's just like, are you kidding me? You're fucking kidding me with this lady. So basically I'm gonna fast forward through a lot
of let's fast forward notes. Basically by the end of it, Kate has an opportunity to steal Peter's shield and she thinks about it. She's just sort of like holding it. She's like, I mean, what do I do with a shield? Do I want a shield? Do I not want a shield? It's sort of like boring. I don't think I want a shield. I think I'm not going to use the shield. So she doesn't do it. And then they build the catapult in time. And then all the people who are eligible for a shield have to like launch the catapult. And Sheree, of all people, wins, which is hilarious just because we still don't know that if Sheree even understands what game she's on. So the fact that she's succeeding is hilarious.
Okay, let me see where I am. Alan, Kate, what? I'm helping the demon catapult. Okay, so hold on. This is a lot of game. This is a very long section.
How about heading back to the castle in three SUVs?
Okay.
Everyone discusses who the traitor is.
So Kate and Sheree are with CT and Phaedra in a car, and Kate's like, so while we're in the car, what do you think about voting Dan out tonight? He's dumb, right? I mean, I'm more certain about Parvati. I mean, mostly just because headbands.
Guys, would anyone have been mad if I had launched her headband with a catapult? I just think that would have been funny. Do you think it would have broken? That would have been nice.
I wish she wore a stretchy headband so I could just use the headband as a catapult.
So in the other car, you got Kevin and MJ and Phaedra. And Kevin's like, he goes, do you think that Peter's on the chopping board? And they said yes, which is, did he really ask if Peter's on the chopping board? Peter's not on the chopping board.
No, I think they meant Dan. So then in another car, in Dan's car, Trishelle's like, oh my God, Dan, how are you feeling about tonight? Do you want to borrow a beret?
Parvati's like, if you want, we can put a headband in the beret so it's really like double accessorized on your head. You know, I know you're balding, so you can use any help you can get.
Yeah, and he's like, no, you know, I'm under the gun, but that's part of this game, you know, so I'm just going to wait and see where the chips fall in the game.
Even though Peter thinks I'm 99% a traitor, in this game, I will never quit. If I can present a decent argument to him and everyone that I can convince them that I'm not a traitor, let's see what happens tonight at the round table. Coming up next on Dan.
Do you think that Dan was thrown off his game because they don't let him yell on this? Because we know, and I've noticed that with Dan in this, because we know Big Brother players, and when you're on Big Brother, you have to be like, and then there was a giant hot dog hanging from a tree, so I had to grab onto it, and I had to hold onto it, and the one who holds onto it wins the game, and I'm going to win head of household. Like, they have to speak so loudly, they're always yelling right at you into the camera, you know? You can't fall asleep to that fucking show, because they're going to wake you up, you know? And Dan, I noticed in this one, is talking very quietly, and I wonder if he came into this and he's like, well, in this game, like, Dan, well, in this game, and it just threw him off, you know?
Yeah, plus he also doesn't have to pause for sound effects, because, you know, in Big Brother, it's like, man, I was feeling real low today, and then you'd hear a, but I'm going to bounce back. So I think because he doesn't have to pause, he has like that. Less, he doesn't have that time to think about things. Strategy.
Wow. So yeah, he's gonna let the chips fall where they may. And Peter's like, guys, tonight I kind of see the I see the writing on the wall, right? And he's like, it's probably Parvati, right? He's like, Parvati, let me ask you tonight about tonight's murder. She's like, why are you asking me about it? Jeez. He's like, well, come on, Parvati. I think we all know why. She's like, he needs to get off my back.
Yeah, and he is, Peter is really playing up this thing of like, well, I didn't get a shield, so I'm going to get murdered tonight. Guys, it's been fun. I'm going to get murdered, which is actually smart because he's almost daring the traitors to murder him, because now if Parvati or Dan, like if he gets murdered, it's clear it's going to be Parvati or Dan, unless Parvati or Dan are being set up by someone, which is always a possibility, okay?
So but, wait, so before when they were saying, do you think Peter's going to get murdered tonight? That's what they meant.
Oh, maybe that's what it meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Parvati is like, so Peter's like talking to this group. He's like created this group of people that like they're friends with. And Parvati basically, Peter like won't let Parvati come in the room. So she's like, and she's like, Peter's on this moral crusade and he's playing this like headbandlessier than thou, or holier than thou, I should say. And where he's like the leader of the faithfuls and he's like the most faithful of the faithful, like gross. Peter's going to single-handedly lead those faithless to safety and crush all the traitors. And you know what? I don't like the game of that Peter's playing, and I would really like to get rid of Peter. I want to break that group apart one squint at a time.
And Peter is saying, well, maybe it's not Dan, but I'm confident it's Parvati. Okay, well, but you've already come so hard for Dan. I mean, you're screwed either way. You're getting yourself killed, because whichever one it's not is going to be coming at you next, right? Because you've been coming at them both so hard. Do you people learn nothing? Janelle just left right in front of your face because she accused three people at the same time.
Right. Which, by the way, they shouldn't kill Peter, because that would be the most obvious move. So then, anyway, so they're all talking, and they're like, Peter says it's gonna be Parvati, and then so now Peter like brings Parvati in, and she's like, oh my god, like what's happening? I'm so faithful, you guys. You guys are all the traitors. I'm the faithful one.
Well, she follows in there because they're all they all go to talk privately, right? So she's like, yeah. Oh, so you guys are hanging out now? What is this, like where the good people hang out? Wow. Wow, guys. And I like that she's so dedicated to being a villain. She's like, oh, we're all the heroes in here. Ooh, aren't you adorable little heroes not doing any traitorous things with each other? Gonna kill all of you.
Yeah, and she's like, because she's now doing this thing like, oh, wow, you guys are such a clique. You guys are a clique, as if like that's gonna turn, like that's gonna somehow make them seem like traitors. I don't know. But she keeps saying, she's like, you know, I know my name's been out there, so I'm like really not surprised. But like, it's very suspicious that you, Kevin, and Trishelle are all locked together. It's possible that one of you could be a traitor. Aha. I was like, that makes no sense, but you know, you do you. Sure.
I mean, if you were coming at three of them, three or four maybe, but like a whole group of people is weird because they can't all be traitors. So Sandra's like, Parvati's good at deceiving and she's good at lying and we're already on to her because we can see, you know, like, oh, we can see what she's doing. And John's like, what's your instinct about tonight, Parvati? Go ahead and let us know. What are you thinking about tonight and your vote, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I have been trusting Dan, but I don't trust really anyone 100%. I don't think any of us can. The only thing I can really trust right now is my headband.
Okay, so then Dan takes Peter aside, and he's like, okay, look, for tonight, all I'm asking for is like an open ear, you know? So like if I come up with something, you know, I'm going to state my case about it. But I just, in this game, you know, you got to state your case, but I got to know that I'm going to have people listening to me, you know? So are you going to be able to listen to me and let me state my case? What's the point
like,
of this?
I know. He's like, are you saying you're going to wait until the round table? He's like, can you at least, like, consider what I'm saying in this game? And he's like, yeah, fine. So Dan's like, hey, I came out of retirement for over a decade. For this, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. It's time for me to go after one of my own traitors. And at the round table, it will be a big shock, unless you've been watching the show where you've already seen I've been plotting against Phaedra. But this is what I do. I know, one, I can't go down this game without taking my own shot.
Okay, so then he tries this with everybody, just pulling them aside and being like, I'm going to do something big tonight. And they're like, okay. She's like, shoot your shot, bad boy. And he tells CT the same thing, and CT's like, I don't care. Why are you pulling me aside? So then it's time for the round table.
Pizza time. So, players, welcome to the round table and debate. Tonight, around here, we must debate. The prize pot. Wait, whatever. He does a whole spiel. Who cares? So Dan is like, all right, everyone, I'm going to start. I'll say this. Since day one, I've been watching one person, but I haven't wanted to say it until right now when I'm suddenly in a whole lot of shit. But all of a sudden, I have a theory that came out of nowhere. Is everyone ready?
They're like, okay. He's like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Now, I got a question for everyone. This is going to shock you. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for your minds to be blown. Okay. Raise your hand. What does he say? Raise your hand.
Raise your hand if your name has been written down at least once on the chalkboard. So a bunch of people raise their hand. And he goes, okay. So I'm looking at the least suspicious people based on action. So Bergie, your name hasn't been written down. Sheree, your name's not been written down. You don't even have a chalkboard. You just brought a piece of ham. I don't know how that happened. Phaedra, you haven't been written down. Sandra, yours hasn't. Parvati, hey, that's not enough to convict someone. But this is where we start. Okay, everyone?
Okay. And already, you're full of shit. Spiel. Like, none of this makes any sense, right? So he's like, okay, next thing, you got to look at voting patterns. Has anyone voted anything a little weird? Come on, let's go with Sandra, because everyone knows every one of Sandra's votes has banished someone, but she's always explained herself, so she's out of the equation. Well, why is she out of the equation?
I know. That made no sense. But you know what? He's doing the right thing, which is he's speaking, he's saying it sort of authoritatively, and these idiots are like, yeah, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Because that's normally all you have to do. It's like the person with the most confidence, I mean, it's like real life. The person with the most confidence comes in and it's like, all right, everybody, here's what we're going to do. That lady's a witch. And they're like, yeah, kill her, kill her.
It's true. You know, Sheree had one weird vote with John, but, you know, at the same time, she's also giving a fake weather forecast to a fake TV show right now, so I think we can just not even worry about her at the moment. She doesn't know what's going on.
I asked her this morning who she was going to vote out, and she said spring, summer, autumn, fall?
Something about joggers. And then we got Bergie. You know, he just goes with the crowd, and that leads Parvati and Phaedra. So we're like,
So wouldn't Bergie just going with the crowd make him more of a choice to be the killer? Like,
exactly. The killer's going to hide with the crowd. Getting my forehead. So Parvati's like, Parvati, your only vote outside of the norm was for Kevin, but you explained what that was about. You were suspecting him. I was like, oh, okay. So she's off the hook because of that? Okay, sure.
She's like, I still am, you know? I mean, dumb people get chosen to do things all the time.
And so that leaves one person, Phaedra. Phaedra had one vote that hasn't been explained. She voted out Ekansu, and no one ever questioned her on it. I'm like, Ekansu was in the middle of an argument with Janelle. Like, it was like a totally clean vote to do.
Yeah. And he's like, and then Ekansu magically gets murdered. Okay, so we got someone who's not suspected and a weird vote. Okay, that's still not enough. So I need some other kind of bullshit to throw out the wall here that makes no fucking sense. And I'm thinking, please don't let people be falling for this, because people are so really nervous. Listening, you know?
And they're so dumb, too. And they've been thrown off the dance scent like three times this season. And I'm like, please don't fall for it again.
And I thought they were going to, because then he got her ultimate tell. I thought he was about to get her tell, which is the next thing, breakfast reactions. Same. And I was like, oh, no, he's going to point out boiled egg and I need to cut this meat. He's going to point it out. That's how he's going to get her.
First time it stood out to me, Marcus gets murdered. Where was Phaedra? I don't know if she's sitting next to her, but she walks around, goes over to Larsa and goes, sweetie, it's okay. Everything's okay. I was like, is this your, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit moment? Because it's really not singing for me.
Kind of. And then he's like, yeah. And then Tamara gets voted out. Does anybody remember what she said? She said they're coming after the housewives. Whoa. That's exactly what OJ was texting people when he was in that white van.
And today, Bergie, we thought you were murdered. And we all know Bergie's a housewife. And she said, oh no, not my Bergalicious. So there's another weird breakfast reaction.
It's the same thing Faye Resnick said right before she took that Playboy spread after Nicole got murdered.
Phaedra goes, are you freaking kidding me? And Dan goes, my point is, you will never get brought up because everyone likes you. And to me, that is the most suspect thing. Those are my reasons. Because I think Kate says somewhere in there, she says a little bit later. But he's like, this is my thing. Everyone likes you. You're not suspicious. Now, by the way, some of this would have been good logic for a faithful to have, which is to say, look at the voting record. That's basically what Dan's doing. But he tries the wrong one today.
Yes. So she goes, wait, you've been watching me from day one? And he's like, yeah, no one's ever written your name down. Why do you think that is? And she's like, no one's written a lot of people's names down. Fucking moron.
Doesn't mean I'm a traitor. Why would you look at her since day one? Like, what has she done that was suspicious since day one? Like, All the stuff that he said has been, if you look over the course of this season, she's been suspicious. But it doesn't explain why you'd be suspicious of her from day one. So that also is kind of doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Okay, so he's like, what about Ekansu? And she's like, because of the issue she had with Parvati. And she changed her story. Like, everybody knew that already. And he's like, well, but then what about breakfast murder reactions? What about when that girl's boyfriend got murdered and then you said you were sorry about it?
And she's like, what breakfast murder reactions? And he goes, you know, the Bergie. And then Kate is like, so she smells Dan's bullshit. She goes, not my Bergalicious. Was that problematic for you? He goes, yeah, but also, Marcus, oh, so consoling Larsa was problematic for you? He's like, yeah. Kate's like, idiot. Even though Kate is actively defending a traitor, she's defending the one that we all love, so she's totally doing
well, right. She's just calling Dan out on his bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I like that she is confident enough to come against another confident player and be like, no, your overconfident blustering is not going to work for you, you little fuck. So yeah. He's like, well, yeah, but what about Larsa? She goes, oh, wow, so being nice to Larsa was problematic for you? I mean, I get a little bit more. That one actually.
I mean, no one ever wants to do that in life, but still not enough evidence.
Yeah.
So now, actually, I think it was really good that Kate jumped in because I think it gave Phaedra a little bit of time to get herself ready, because now she pivots and Phaedra's like, because of Larsa, a fellow housewife, what was I supposed to do? And Kate's like, yeah, that her boyfriend got sent home. And Dan goes, Kate's like, no, I don't understand this. What's the logic behind this? Well, the logic behind me is that, to me, it just always seems to be like a little bit extra. Like, it just seems like extra, you know?
And Kate's like, extra? Have you seen her?
I'm very extra, baby. That's what Peter goes.
So then, what happened? I'm sorry to sidetrack this, but
yes.
Do you remember when she went to Real Housewives of Dubai for an episode, and she said she was in town for business, and they said, "Well, what business?" And she's like, "Seaweed." Was it seaweed that was her business?
I don't remember.
Where she was like, "I'm into seaweed supplements," and they're like, "Oh." How natural that you would be in Dubai for seaweed or whatever. Do you remember what it was?
I tried to block out most of that season, to be honest. It was not good. Even Phaedra's arrival was not good. And I blame mainly Caroline Stanberry's husband. I can't tune in to watch this idiot. I don't remember. I honestly don't remember.
Well, he'll be back for the next season, and spoiler alert, he's got gigantic eyelash extensions now. I just think it's funny because all of Phaedra's businesses. I'm like, wow, extra. So the seaweed seller, mortician. What was her other business?
Donkey booty.
She just started on Married to Medicine. She just started. Oh,
yes,
Reiki. Reiki healer. Reiki.
is you're discovering that she's extra. So. Yeah. This is where Phaedra then starts turning the tables, and she goes, I do too much because you do too little, which of course is like canon, iconic. And she goes, but tonight you're doing way too much because you know you're getting ready to get banished. So you're trying to put the heat on me, which is a crock BS. You're a Big Brother winner, not once, but twice. He's like, well, almost. Well, either way, you have knowledge of this game. So if there was really a mastermind, it sure wouldn't be a dolled up housewife, baby. That would not be it. And let's not forget. When she said, let's not forget, I was like, oh. I was so excited when she started getting into lawyer mode.
Burgalicious voted for you last night. And who got the murder warrant? Burgalicious. Why? Because Dan thought that he was able to be murdered.
Is that not correct? Ooh, between the let's not forget and the is that not correct, I like literally passed out of my bed. I was like, it's so good. We're like finally seeing Phaedra as like in lawyer mode. I was like, it was just so direct.
It was so good. But also, how stupid is Dan? I mean, he's already seen Phaedra in Phaedra mode when they were in the turret. And she was like, poverty. No one likes you and everyone thinks you're a traitor. How dare you come for me?
Don't do that.
And they look shocked. You know, it's just like twitching, and Parvati's like, oh my God. So, yep. And then when she told you, she said, and so don't come for me, Parvati. And you either, Dan. Or when she said, either of you, or whatever she said then. And then he really has the balls with that flim flam evidence now.
Yeah. And he was, and the thing is this too, is that he's ultimately. Poverty already has the stank on her. And so he's just spreading the stank to a third traitor. So even if he gets by, it's just not smart. I think he was trying to protect Poverty or who knows what, but she wasn't going to protect it. It was just stupid. And Phaedra is just handling him here because now she's questioning him like a lawyer would. And Dan is like, but don't you think that's like a little obvious that I would go after Bergy? And Phaedra goes, okay, then, but why would I want him out? And Bergie's like, yeah, I don't have a problem with her.
Yeah. Also, you know, mentioning Parvati, he should have been going for Parvati. And the fact that he doesn't is ridiculous because he knows that everybody is against Parvati and they all think that she's a traitor. Why wouldn't you just go for her? Like, why would you go for the one who knew about
the? She's the other one who knew about the shield, Peter's shield scheme.
Yes. So yeah, just bad moves all around here. And I think it's the CBS thing. I think it's like, she's from Survivor. I'm not going to fuck with her. You know?
Yeah, because you're used to like idiots like, you know, that girl Chelsea from the winter season one time who's like, you look like you've been rode hard and put down wet or whatever, that stupid asymmetric bob hairstyle girl. I still remember all these years later. I'm just like thinking of all the dumb people on Big Brother who get duped.
You'll
by
be here a while.
Yeah.
Because they're numerous.
I know, I'm like really triggered.
Dan's like, well, I didn't say that you wanted him out, Phaedra. She goes, well, you're saying that I'm the killer, aren't you? And Bergie's like, I think if Phaedra was thinking long game, she would keep me around because I trust Phaedra. Like, duh.
He goes, I trust her. She goes, yeah. He goes, okay, well, that's a fair defense. And she goes, but no one trusts you, darling. And I didn't know anything about who had the shield, by the way. So then Peter jumps in. And he basically is like, I told Dan, and I told Parvati, and I told CT, and obviously one of you three has to be the traitor, and that's for sure, and I really don't think CT is, because we've decided he's good. So, there.
And guys, Dan, Peter's literally been monologuing about this all day, bragging about his huge move, and you still aren't thinking, wow, those should be one of the three I try to take out, or, you know, one of the two I should try to take out. Right. Mm-hmm. So, Peter's like, I mean, obviously I have my suspicions with you two. I believe it's my last night because I'm going to die. I was so vocal today. I'm probably going to die. Whatever. But if I do get murdered, use it as proof, everybody. And Parvati's like, I'll just say what's been going on today is there's really been a really strong clique that has emerged. So if you're not in Peter's group, then guess what? You're not a little good person, okay? You're probably going to die because you're just not good enough to live. So enjoy your fucking morals.
It's like, well, what are you? Click theory is not working right now, Parvati. You got to drop the click theory. No one's jumping on that one.
No, and you know that he's coming for Phaedra, so either help him out with Phaedra or switch to CT. It's the weirdest gameplay from these people.
Yeah, it's actually good she doesn't come to Phaedra's defense because that would actually make Phaedra look worse, I think.
No, not to her defense. I'm saying go for Phaedra, like try and get Phaedra out, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, saying from her gameplay standard, obviously, it's not what I'm rooting for.
So Bergie's like, guys, all the traitors are trying to do is divide us, and they're doing a good job right now. They're trying to throw out names and throw us off guard. And Peter's like, guys, come on, stand strong here. We're going to get the traitors out, and that's our goal. And Dan's like, I mean, at the end of the day, you guys know me. In this game, I was quiet, and I took my shot conveniently at a time when I'm on the chopping block. So now you have to pick.
Yeah, and so Parvati is like, well, I just want to say something else because the reason I was trusting Dan, and Peter goes, oh, yeah, now look, she's going to try and separate from Dan now. Do not buy this, guys. Do not buy this. And she's like, can I finish, good person? It does not feel good to be falsely accused. It's very off-putting. And we've seen multiple people having to defend themselves, and they've been faithful. And I did trust Dan because he and I started talking together since day one. I'm like, what are you doing? Just be quiet. Why are you rubbing it into everyone's face that you're close with Dan?
She's like, you know, I started talking together. You know, we started talking together on day one, and he is such a great game player. I must have given my headband to the wrong person. You have to be careful with your trusts. And Peter's like, guys, don't buy that. Don't buy that. Don't listen to her. She's a woman. So Alan's like, players, the time for talk is over. It's now time to vote. So I'm like, oh, God. They're all idiots. Kevin, I was like, I'm looking at you, Kevin, because you're going to vote for Phaedra. I know you are. And I was like, sweet Phaedra's going to get destroyed by Dan somehow.
No, no one fell for his bullshit, which I was so glad. And Phaedra's like, I am furious, but I guess there's no honor among thieves.
Yeah. So almost all of them vote for Dan. Peter votes for Parvati. Dan votes for Phaedra. He can't even, he's like laughing at this point because he know he's been so, like, she just destroyed him.
Yeah.
And basically Dan gets voted out.
Yeah. And Phaedra's like, how dare you pulling those shenanigans? Well, he learned tonight. Oh, he learned.
It was so good. And so then, you know, he has to stand up in the circle. He's like, you know, I won Big Brother twice. And you know, I think I'm pretty good at that game. No one ever has written my name down once in two seasons.
How and is a lot that of possible? I mean, that really is crazy. That no one wrote his name down in two seasons.
Isn't that shocking?
It really is.
How did, like, even after Dan's funeral, when it was so, like, the whole point, for people who don't watch Big Brother, when they keep talking about Dan's funeral, he was just deeply in line to be voted off. Like, it was so, like, there was, he was going to get backdoored out of the show. Like, there was just, he had no defense, and he did this whole elaborate thing where he pretended he was dead and out of the game, so he was, like, he thanked everyone, and he threw, like, his closest ally under the bus, and everyone got confused, and he wound up skating through the next week, and he did not get sent home when everyone thought he would. So it became this very significant strategical moment on the show. And it's shocking that even with Dan's funeral, he didn't get a vote. They're idiots. What a show of idiots.
I mean, he was famous for having Dan's funeral, and he ended up losing this to a mortician. I mean, it's just
there we go.
Poetic. I mean, you guys, God pays for Peacock. I'm telling you that.
So they're all cheering, you know, because they got out a traitor, because he says it and everything. And yeah, and Dan's basically like, yeah, well, you know, you make one mistake and you're out.
You made so many, Dan. Oh my God.
I know.
That's cute. Your one mistake.
But I'm also like a little sick of him. He says like for the umpteenth time, you know, I've been in retirement for 10 years. Okay, stop. You're not Michael Jordan here. You just not been on
Big
a reality show
for a total of like 4 months. Okay. Or 5 months.
Calm it's down. Not significant that you did not go on to another reality show.
Like those Big Brother players, you just see them everywhere. I mean, I guess a lot of them have amazing race resumes and stuff now. And now there's more opportunity because they have all these other shows opening up to them. But yeah, so can't believe you haven't ended up in Branson, Missouri, Dan. Just can't believe it.
He's in retirement.
So, yeah. So Alan's like, finally, you've done what you're here for. You've trapped an AIDS twink. Gotten him out.
Bravo, faithful. At least, at last, quite a stunning move. But don't get too comfortable, because you never know what might happen in my twisted game, in my twisted castle, with my twisted beret. The traitors are weakened, but beware. A predator is most dangerous when they're wounded.
So now everybody's cheering, you know, they're so excited that they got one, baby. And John's like, Phaedra, the way that you carry yourself is something else. Did you have much advance notice of what was going to happen? She's like, no, no. What? No.
By the way, I do have to say, I loved John's anti-Dan speech that he made at the round table. I feel like that's gotten really lost amongst all the stuff, like all the Phaedra stuff on the internet. But he had this little speech where he's like, my vote is for Dan. I listened intently to you, Dan, tonight, and your deflection was on Phaedra. And the case, and that case was comprehensively rebutted. Mm-hmm. Treachery deserves to be punished. Punishment.
I did. And then he gave himself a little smile. He was so proud. Because didn't Phaedra go, yes? Phaedra was like, yes.
Yeah.
Killed it, John.
He's like, my dear friend, should be your fate tonight. Banishment should be your fate tonight. This guy is the silent slaughterer.
I was like, John, wow. Let's have more of this, please.
Yeah, he doesn't get enough lines in general, John. So Peter's like, you want to know something funny, Alliance? The traitors got, they lost twice a day because there was no murder and there was no banishment. So he's like, I'm probably going to get killed tonight. And Bergie's like, listen, I don't know. We should come up with a nickname for our crew, though, before we lose somebody, right? Let's do
sure.
it.
Sure. Yeah, okay. How about the gang of idiots? I don't know. Trishel's like, 100%. Actually, I'm really concerned because Trishel, of all people, Trishel, she says, she tells us, you know, Dan waited so long to say anyone's name, and at that point he called out Phaedra, and I think that he knew that we needed to be fed a traitor, so I think that Phaedra is a traitor, and no one's even suspecting it. So I'm like, oh, fuck, Trishel's one who's piecing this together? Oh, God, that's... So Phaedra's definitely not out of the woods yet.
Well, thankfully, Trishelle has made an idiot out of herself, and so she's no longer confident in just coming and throwing everybody under the bus. So
that's true, but maybe she's won everyone over by being a fashionista.
Yeah, it's made me nervous because, you know, I picked Phaedra in my early, in our pre-whatever that we did. I picked, or our first episode, I guess, I picked Phaedra. And so I want her to win just for my own sake, you know, because I'll feel like a winner if she wins. Mm-hmm. But I'm worried now because so much of it is about Phaedra. And you know, the second they turn the attention on you, you're in trouble. Yeah.
I have to say, I think it's such an interesting game because I'm like rooting for the dumb idiots to like root out a traitor. But at the same time, I'm rooting for the traitor to outfox the dumb idiots. So I don't really... I'm like very split on this. I just want Phaedra to win. That at this point, I just want Phaedra to win everything.
Yeah, I'm rooting for traitors for sure. So, but I'm a Slytherin. I'm a Slytherin. Actually, some online thing told me that I was not a Slytherin. I was very upset. It told me I was not a Hufflepuff. Those ones are idiots. A Gryffindor. I was like, oh, please.
I got Slytherin. When I did it, I got Slytherin, and I was like, sure, why not? Anyway, so they're all just still talking, and Parvati's like still upset, you know, that there's like that group of five and everything. And so now we go to the traitor's turret, where Alan's going to be paying them a visit. So Phaedra and Parvati arrive at the turret, and Phaedra's pissed. She's like, I'm pissed.
Yeah. I like Parvati's just, that was dark. It's just, yes, I'm pissed. And if I wasn't a Christian woman, I would rip his heart out. Damn.
So what, if you're not Christian, you're gonna just do that? Excuse you. So if she were a Jewish woman, she would be like, so wrong that I made some friends in this castle, so wrong that I did that,
so what, I should apologize for having friends now.
So Parvati is by the way, I'm Jewish, for anyone who thinks I am being offensive. I'm just doing an impersonation of like every important lady in my life.
Parvati, I'm just doing an impersonation of 80% of the people I waited on in New York City.
So Parvati,
how was everything tonight, ladies? It could be better.
Could be better. We finally got out of traitor. Could be better.
Could be better. We could have gotten out too. But you know what? Waste not, want not. That's what I always say. I don't even know how that has to do with this conversation. Carry on, Ben. Don't let me keep talking.
So they're thinking about, like, Phaedra and Parvati are thinking about who they're going to kill, and they're debating, like, should they kill Peter? Because Peter's, like, really hot to trot on them, but then it'll be so obvious if they kill him. And Parvati's like, I don't think it's going to help me stay in the game if I kill him. In my mind, I think that Parvati's trying to set up a death from outside of Peter's group, so that way she can frame Peter's group. I think that's where her brain is starting to go. But before she can get too far down that path, there's a knock on the turret door.
And so Alan comes in. He's like, I'm sorry to break up your little soiree, but I have news. With Dan's banishment, you and your numbers have been dwindled down to two.
He goes, as the rules dictate, according to right now, you have the opportunity to recruit.
I was like, did the rules dictate that? I mean, sure, it sounds great. So
yeah, I think that's how they were. That's how it works.
They did it last year. I just didn't know it was an official rule. So they either get to murder a faithful or seduce someone to become a traitor.
Yes. And so they can refuse, which I forgot. I forgot that people can just not, they can do whatever they want.
Should be the worst.
So if they do this, they're giving up their vote for the night. They don't get to murder somebody and recruit somebody. So they have to decide what to do, you know? So he leaves. And Parvati's like, oh my God, do we recruit or do we murder? We have to recruit. Let's do Peter.
And she is bloodthirsty. She's like, she's like, here's my idea. We seduce Peter to become a traitor, and then we start turning the tables around on these people who he's been working with, this disgusting, disgusting faithful.
Fucking do-gooders.
Just want to peep on their faces. She's like, I want the person who's been putting a lot of suspicion on me on my side. There's a possibility that Peter would throw me under the bus, so there is that risk.
And Phaedra's like, well, just because we seduce him does not mean that the other people are going to forget about you. She goes, oh, they're never going to forget about me anyway. My fate is my fate. But I'm really good at surviving. Oh, my God. When did this girl show up? Because, I mean, I've been enjoying her so far, but this is the part where I was like, oh, okay, Parvati.
For people who watch Survivor, they knew that this part of Parvati was, my friend John is, like, obsessed with Parvati. And by the way, shout out, John's a part, shout out to Cupcake Wines. He's, the because John's like, can you mention Cupcake Wines? Because he's like reps. So Cupcake Wines has like some wine out that you guys should buy. So I want to get, but he's obsessed with Parvati. And I know that he was probably just like orgasming during the scene because Parvati was like, okay, here comes stage two Parvati coming right at you.
Yes. So she's like, but I don't know if I trust Peter. Well, you don't really, I mean, at this point, who are you going to trust? Because you've been fucked over by your two other traitors already, right? So Parvati's like, well, it would be so fun to recruit him and turn the most blue blood faithful to deceive his own posse and watch him murder his friends.
Yeah, she's like, we'll murder them one by one. First, we'll pull off their fingernails. Then we'll rip off their arms. Then we'll stick a stake in their brains. It's like, whoa, Parvati. Parvati, it's not a real murder.
And Phaedra's like, wow, you really want to recruit the crazy bachelor pilot? She goes, yes. But, I mean, I just want to make sure you're good with that, though, because I know you've had a tough day, too.
She goes, thanks, Parvati.
She's like, well, I've had a tough day, but you're on your deathbed. I'm walking into the hospital, but you're in the ICU, baby. You do what you need to do.
And also, just as a reminder, no one likes you.
I like so that like, they've become little allies at this point.
And then she, and then like at this point, like Parvati's eyes are just like full on black, and she's like, "Let's just light this place on fire." Like, okay,
she goes, "Oh, we'll light a fire, Parvati."
To be a wild one. So they, so Peter walks into the room like where there's normally a note that says you've been murdered, and he sees it and he's like, oh man. So he opens it up and it says you've been recruited to be a traitor, and he's like, this is the smartest move for the traitor to do right now, and there's no way that anyone would suspect me being one right now. But and everyone's about me, like, you know, everything about me is like, win this game, and I don't like this because if I don't take it, they're going to murder me. What am I going to do?
Well, I mean, I'm assuming he's going to take it, but
I don't know. He's actually almost like too virtuous. He's like actually like annoyingly like faithful. I think he's going to reject
it. But it's so stupid. It doesn't mean you're really a good person, you dummies. The faithful, like, you can't help it if you're a faithful or a murderer. Like, these people, yeah. It kills me. It's like, no, we're all going to bring down the trainers. Some weird sense of fucking justice.
Yeah, I think that he's on such a high from setting that trap that I think he's going to want to like figure it out himself now. Now he's on like an ego trip. I think he's going to reject it. But the question is, if he rejects it, is he going to say that he rejected it? Because that got someone into hot water last year. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, I don't remember that last year. Who rejected
last it? Last year, well, one of the idiot traders announced that he had received the offer and rejected it. He thought it would be smart. And then everyone was like, what? That doesn't make sense. So then he got in the hot seat.
Oh, was that Cody?
No, it was one of the normal guys or the regular people, non-reality star guys. Michael. I forgot his name, but he was chaotic.
Last year they had like normies playing with the slams.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, I could watch like a million different iterations of this because it's like I want to see people come back and do it in a different role. I want to see different dynamics. I'm just like, I could just watch the show over and over and over again.
Well, I think that Peter is going to take it. I predict he is going to do it, and he's going to be so obvious that they're going to call him out because that poor guy's not very subtle.
I hope so.
And also, just from watching The Bachelor, you know, he's not as nice as he seems. He's a lot more underhanded than he seems. And I think at some point he's going to be like, oh, okay, now I'm going to be the most trusted person here. And now I'm going to get to start killing these idiots.
Yes. Who would you give it to? Who would you give it to if not Peter?
I would give it to Sandra or, God, who else? I would give it to someone more obvious, like someone who would be obviously picked as a traitor, you know? I think Sandra has that kind of personality just because she has that, like, kind of voice. And MJ,
I don't think I'd give it to MJ because she had, like, a little bit of heat already earlier in the season. I wonder if, like, Kevin...
But
I
you
feel
want
like Kevin
the other traitors to get kicked off, don't you?
I mean, it makes you your portion of the prize. I think you still want to have, like, a solid traitor core until the end. So I think I would pick... Maybe Kate. Kate would be good, but people would suspect her. I think Kevin...
Kate, they would suspect. If it's people that they're not going to suspect, oh my gosh. At this point, Trishelle, because she cried.
I think Trishelle would actually be a good one. Or I think Kevin, because I think that like if Kevin, he would be a bad traitor and then he'd be outed. And then I think it would rattle Peter because he's like, I trusted Kevin all this time. Now I don't know. And I don't know who to trust anymore, you know?
Yeah.
But I think Kevin wouldn't take it because Kevin is like an asshole, it turns out. And I think he would be like, no, fuck that, man.
Really? I think he would look at it as an upgrade in his role and he would take it because he's an actor. The show is called Traitors and I've been offered the lead role of a traitor.
That is
so I'm
true.
Take it. I'm an actor. It's like you've been,
it's basically like you've been offered a national commercial.
Yeah.
All right.
I just got offered union. Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for being here for the Traitors. We will be back, obviously, next week. We'll be here all week with good stuff. This is a show a lot of straight guys listen to. We're covering the new season of Below Deck. We start tomorrow, it comes out.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to you then. All of you gay, loving, fabulous people, tickets for the crappies coming up. Yes. February 17th, streaming and in person. Go get tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com. And you know, I'm on the wrong window to end this.
That's
shit,
okay.
So I'll just vamp for a minute. Okay, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.